Yes, ladies. So I just wanted to start this evening by reading. Well, welcome to chapter 8 of the mandate. And the name of the chapter is The Task of the Troops. I wanted to open this evening by reading a portion from Words from the Father's Heart. And this is volume 6. So I'm going to be reading page 52. Because again, tonight we're the teaching, the focus would be on the task of the troop. So everything would be linked back to us, men and women, being a troop. So it says here, and we all know what Words from the Father's Heart is. It's a book of prophecies from men and women, coming straight out of men and women. Yeah. Words from the Father's Heart. So it says, the army of Jesus Christ is marching forward all over the world, and no man will hurt my troop. They cannot be distracted. Nothing can stop this army. Who can march against these troops? Who can hinder these troops? The strongest army of the universe cannot. The armies of the world cannot. I equip you with new rifles and sophisticated weapons. Take the weapon of holiness, truth, and righteousness. Conquer thrones, territories, nations. Conquer the world. And we all know that prophetic words do not go stale like bread. We know that is it comes straight from from God, and we know that the word of God is living and active. So we know that even as these words were prepared years ago, that they still apply to us. We agree? We agree, ladies?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, great, great. And we see the Lord is saying
I'm
here.
sorry, can you repeat? I missed out. Sorry
Oh,
about that.
okay.
I missed out. I
So,
had to just run and get a
okay. So
testimonial.
I was saying that I just read a portion from Words from the Father's Heart. So I was just, reemphasizing the fact that the Word of God is living and active. It's not like bread that would go stale. So although it was prepared beforehand, it still applies to us. And it said, the army of Jesus Christ is marching forward all over the world, and no man will hurt my troop. They cannot be distracted. Nothing can stop this army. We can march against, who can march against these troops? Who can hinder these troops? So this is what the Lord is saying about us. The strongest army of the universe cannot. The armies of the world cannot. I equip you with new rifles, sophisticated weapons. Take the weapon of holiness, truth, and righteousness. So it's saying to us, these are our weapons. Some of our weapons, holiness, truth, righteousness, conquer thrones, territories, nations, conquer the world. So that's the word of God to men and women. So it applies to us today. So that's why I just wanted to reinforce
Okay,
before we go
yes.
into
Thank
today's
you very
session.
much.
Okay, good.
Okay, thank you.
Going opening up tonight, this evening, sorry. As I said before, the topic is the task of the troop. So I have, oh my, sorry, let me begin to share. Share my screen with you. Share.
Yeah.
Can you see?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, great. Good. So this evening, the aims for this evening, and the aims are basically, what we want to come away with. So at the end of the evening, we should be able to answer these questions here. What is an army? What is a troop? What is the task of this troop? And what are the assignments to carry out? Okay. So let's go on now to what is an army. So what I did, I sought out the definition of an army and just compared it to the definition of Wailing Women Army, and this is as defined by the Lord. So army, as it relates to a general army, I pulled this definition from Google. It said, an army is a large number of people or things typically formed or organized for a particular purpose. So then when I did my research on what the Lord said about Wailing Women as an army, this is what he said. He said, it is not a social club nor a women's liberalization movement. Okay, he says the move of Wailing Women worldwide is an army made up of Christian women who will not compromise their faith or allow themselves to be corrupted by defiling influences in the world. It is a training camp where people are formed and helped to recognize their place in God and enabled to fulfill their destinies. It also said God has raised the company of men and women worldwide as a formidable, committed, self-reliant, self-sacrificing, and devout army. Men and women worldwide is a global end time army, God's spiritual defense for nations, his secret squad. Okay, so we're seeing here what the world defines an army as versus what the Lord defines the Wailing Women army as. So I have a quick question, and I can't see you because I'm sharing my screen, so you would have to just speak up. Based on the 5 points here underneath given as it relates to Wailing Women, one second. Sorry. Right. So given the 5 points here listed underneath the definition of the Wailing Women Army, I wanted to know if any of these points are new to you. Or are you familiar with all? I can't see you. So sorry?
I mean, not
seeing it like this. It's small.
Just one. It's too small. One person. Just one person at a time. Sorry. So even if you want to. Hello, you can hear me? Just one person at a time.
Yes, we can.
Because I can't see. Right. So I wanted to know if any of these points are basically not familiar. You never knew that this was a part of the call.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Which?
I've heard the first one before, mm-hmm. but seeing it written out like this is the first time I'm seeing it like this.
Oh, okay.
Truly, yeah.
So it's reinforcing the fact that we're not a social club, nor a women's liberalization movement. So we're only here for one focus. It's only one focus, mm-hmm. and it's to do the work of the Lord. So we don't gather because of any other reason. We don't gather because we like cheese and crackers. We don't gather to discuss our individual lives. We gather as it relates to the mandate of the Lord. So basically that is what he's saying there. Right? Because, you know, obviously there are some persons too, as long as they're here, you know, it's a women's ministry, they automatically think that, you know, it's something social or it is a feminist club or something like that. But the Lord is saying here, clearly it is not a social club, nor a women's liberalization movement. However, that does not mean that he does not take care of us. He takes very good care of us because he thinks that concerns him. However, when we gather, it's as it relates to his business. Okay. Anyone else has a question or anything else to add?
Yes, Ashley, I remember the last session we have with Sister from St. Vincent.
Olivia?
Mm-hmm. Yes, with the mandate. What we were studying, we were such part of this. Well, I'm aware of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, of course, we know it's different than any other because it is one thing that God himself called us as women to do.
Yeah.
And it's different to any other organization and anything that we do in church,
mm-hmm.
or congregation. Yes, so we need to focus our minds of just allowing God to have his way.
Okay, good. Right. I think Olivia would have been
watching. Not to what we know, but to mm-hmm. what he wants.
What he wants, correct. You know, and it's not our agenda, but it's really what he wants, you know, and what he wants do through and in us as well. Okay?
His will.
So can we move on from here? Or is there anyone else with a comment? You can? Okay, great. So that's the definition there of what is an army. So we're going to move on now to what is a troop. So again, I Googled the definition. Troop defined. A troop is a military subunit. It is the equivalent element to the platoon, which is a subdivision of a company of soldiers, usually forming a tactical unit, and is commanded by a lieutenant and divided into several sections. So then I did some research as it relates to the Wailing Women troop defined. And it says Wailing Women Worldwide Troop are a special breed of people prepared to extend the frontiers of God's kingdom through upholding righteousness and steadfastness in fighting spiritual battles. And then I listed some examples of the troop. Because as we said before, the troop is a subunit. So we all know that there is an army. The army is the general body. But then you have like specific troops. Correct? So I know you have sea, you have land, you have desert. We know that there are different troops. There are different subsections within the army. So I listed a couple examples here. So the general body is wailing women worldwide. The troop subsections, you have wailing widows, you have wailing daughters and sons, you have husbands aglow, facilitators, singles and aged. In the Caribbean, we have singles and youth. There's also a welfare department. So these are basically, I don't even know you would say, I guess you can call them departments. They're subunits. Welfare, and there's also music and technical. Okay, so everyone following? I can move forward?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, great. So what I did, I just wanted to pull up the scripture because we're still continuing now on, you know, what's the task of the troop. And we know in Ephesians 6:10-17, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor," because we are an army. We are troops within an army. And so the word of God says to us here, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." Because again, we understand that it's not a physical battle, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers in dark places. Correct? And so we know the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the sword of the spirit, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, and your feet protected with the gospel. So this is the armor of the troop. Okay, good. So what I wanted to do, I just wanted to give you are you able to see the chart that I have here displayed right now? You know, it's a bit small, but I tried to open it up a bit. Good. So this
really
is basically
small. The word of it's very small. I can see it, but not the words.
You can't see the words clearly, yeah, because it was small. It's a picture that was taken that I just dropped in. So I was hoping that we could see it a bit. Just give me one second, please. What is a picture, right? Right. So okay, just let me call it out quickly. So this is basically the organizational chart for wailing women. So it shows like all the different departments, the different subunits. So it's wailing women. It has the board of international coordinators, international coordinator head. You have like the legal board, admin, advisory, and then it's broken down into like five branches, where you have the international coordination arm. That's where you have like the continental leaders, the sub-regional coordinators, the national coordinators, etc. Then there's the business and project arm, agro and export, cooperative societies, city of refuge. So this is like the different like projects that we do. Then there's the ministry and outreach arm. That's where we fall. Wailing widows, wailing sons and daughters, facilitators, welfare, etc. Then there's a finance arm, accounts and budgeting unit, treasury unit, internal unit, internal audit unit, and then the corporate arm, which would be human resources, training and conference department, media. So there's an actual structure that we follow here. So this, I just wanted to give you a picture of the army, because at the end of the day, we are all one, but then we function in different areas, in different units. Correct? Everyone is following?
Yes, we are.
Yes.
Good. So I have here, what is the task of the troop? Again, as I mentioned before, we have, wailing women in general, and we know the foundational scripture for wailing women, Jeremiah 9:17-21. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider ye and call for the mourning women, that they may come, and send for cunning women, that they may come." And we know Jeremiah 9:17-21. Is there anyone who is not familiar with the scripture, with our foundational scripture? that would need me to go through. So everyone is okay with Jeremiah 17:21. Everyone has a good understanding of the scripture, which is the foundational scripture for veiling women. Okay, so I will take the silence as yes. Good. So the examples of the troop. Hi.
Excuse me. Okay. Mm-hmm. And chapter, you want to explain verse 19 in that chapter for me, please?
Verse 19. So verse 19 says, okay, sorry. Let me just pull it up quickly. Okay. Do you have 19? Who's speaking? Because I can't see. Kenya? Yeah, read 19 for me, please. Read it for us in the meantime.
Okay. All right. Okay. Let me just turn it.
Well, I'm looking for it too.
Jeremiah 9 and verse 19 says, "The voice of wailing is heard in Zion."
Sorry, you're breaking up.
Great. You can give us your name. You can hear me now.
Hear you now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. It said, "For a voice of wailing is heard from Zion. How we mm-hmm. plundered. We are greatly ashamed because we have forsaken the land and because we mm-hmm. have been cast out of our dwelling." Mm-hmm.
Good. So you wanted me to explain in terms of, for a voice of wailing is heard. As we said, the entire Jeremiah 9:17-21 is basically talking about when Israel was, you know, sinning. They were doing as they like, as they saw fit. And the Lord said to call for these wailing women, that they would come and cry out to me so that I would not destroy the land, because the sin is so bad mm-hmm. that no death has climbed into your windows to cut off your generations, to cut off your children, etc. So teach your daughters teach your daughters and your neighbors lamentation. So that's basically what he's saying. So they were mm-hmm. sinning. The Lord came to destroy. He said, send and call these women that will come and cry out to me so that I would not destroy, because the people are sinning so much that no death has crawled into the windows to crawled into their windows to cut off their generation. So teach your children and your neighbors how to pray so I will not destroy this land. So where does 19 fall? "For a voice of wailing is heard from Zion. How are we plundered? We are greatly ashamed." This is the people crying out, because we have forsaken the land, because we have been cast out of our dwelling. So this is Israel crying out at this point in time. And then the Lord says, then it continues to then say, "Yet hear the word of the Lord, O women, and let your ear receive the word of the Lord." So the Lord is saying, so they're crying out now. They're realizing what's happening and they're crying out. And the Lord is saying, but this is what will happen. Teach your children how to pray. Teach your neighbors how to pray. So, you know, the Lord always, he always makes a way for us as long as we come to the place of repentance. Mm-hmm. So I hope that would have helped.
Oh, thank you.
Because this portion, that 19, is the people actually crying out to the Lord.
Okay.
You know, in repentance. How are we plundered? You know, like, look at we know. Look at the land. What we do. Right? Mm-hmm. "For a voice of wailing is heard from Zion." So the people begin to cry out. Look what we do. We ashamed. Look what we do to the land. We forsook the land. And no, it ain't want nothing to do with me. It no, it's treating us harsh. So you got famine now. You know, every time you turn somebody dying, this is with the land rejecting me now. It isn't in blessing us now, instead it cursing.
Okay.
And then the Lord is saying, yet. So then it says, "Yet hear the word of the Lord." Yes, so you realize that this is happening. "Yet hear the word of the Lord, O women. And let your ear receive the word of his mouth." So it's like, women, come hear what the Lord got to say. Teach your daughters how to wail, and your neighbors. So it's actually, so we have to go out and teach people to pray. You know, we have to draw people to the Lord. We have to go and spread the word. That's what I should say. We need to go and spread the word so that more will come and pray. That's basically what he's saying here.
Okay.
Right? Understand?
Okay, yes, thank you.
Good. Everybody else is good? Anyone needs anything explained further? Okay, so we can go on to the subunits. So one of the subunits would be wailing daughters and sons. So we all know about wailing daughters and sons, correct? And this is our succession army or succession plan. So two of the scriptures that the winning sons and daughters use would be Jeremiah 9:20, which is, yet hear the word of the Lord, O ye women, and let your ear receive the word of his mouth, and teach your daughters wailing, and every one her daughter lamentation. That is one. And then Psalm 144:12, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. So we don't know, that could only be a blessing. Talking about our sons being as plants grown in their youth and daughters polished after the cornerstones in the palace. We know that that's a blessing. So the first scripture is telling us about teaching our children to pray. And the second one is just declaring a blessing over them. We can move on to another subsection, subunit, Wailing Widows, Isaiah 54:5. For thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. And we already know that the Lord is the husband to the widow. All right. Facilitators, there are three scriptures that I received. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I have a question. Do you know what is the purpose of a facilitator? So you can ask questions as I go through so that the session will be interactive. So the purpose of the facilitator is to assist the work. I don't want to use the word again, facilitate. To assist. So you could assist in several ways. You could assist financially. You could assist with your services. You could assist with your gifts. You could assist in many ways. There are persons, like for instance in Barbados, there is a lady who loans us her building. She's a Christian. And at no cost. And we have access to this building at any time. She is a facilitator. And she's not a wailing woman. So the person does not have to be a wailing woman. They do not have to be someone, you know, in our midst praying. Because you have some persons that just, you know, set their means aside for us. You know, you have some persons that just sowing into the work. For sowing into the work, say, for the sake of sowing into the work. You know, they have like no other connection. So they're just facilitating the work. They believe the Lord say, and they're doing. So that is facilitating the work. You have some persons as well too, that they make their, you would call it like a bed and breakfast, available when we have to travel. You have persons who open their homes to us when we have to travel and you're in transit. All of those persons, they are all facilitators because they are all assisting the work. Because if someone has to pass through, if you're going to Nigeria and you have to make a stop somewhere in the U.S. somewhere, and there is a sister that lives, the person does not even have to be a sister. They just have to be connected somehow. And they're willing to have to take you in for the night, you know, while you're in transit, and then take you back to the airport in the morning. That's a facilitator, right? So that is a facilitator. Facilitator is someone that assists the work. And obviously, persons who assist financially, and then again, you have some wailing women that are also facilitators. So you can be a part of the wailing women, you can be in the actual ministry, or you can be outside, but you're all assisting. Let me see here. Zechariah 4:6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. This is another one of these scriptures that is used as it relates to the facilitators, because at the end of the day, we understand that it's not by might nor by power. It is the Lord that is making the provision available for us or for those persons, you know, to sow into the work, to assist us. Because obviously, if they are assisting the work, the Lord would honor them, you know, and he would bless them because he's adapted to no man. Job 1:21a, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. Okay, So this person has an understanding that they are to, that's their position to give, because they came in naked, and so they will go out naked. So they're just here to facilitate the work of the Lord. Husbands aglow is another subunit within Wailing Women. The scripture I have here for husbands aglow is Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, rather the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, are the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is the declaration of the men. As for me and my house, we know that the men are the heads of the household, are the head of the household, the head of the family, the head of the family unit. So the men declaring, so if the head, because we all know the word teaches us, you what? You strike the head and scatter the body. So if the head is in alignment, that means the entire body is in alignment. So for the men to declare, you know, men throughout across the nations, as for me and my host, we will serve the Lord. That means that the nation will serve the Lord. Nations will serve the Lord. Okay? So that's just like a little snippet of the different troops within the army of Wailing Women. And their purpose, the purpose based on scripture. Everyone is following?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, good. Okay, what's going on here? Good. What is the task of the troop? So again, what I did, I wanted to just tie everything back in, because the chapter on the task of the troop, it isn't a very long chapter. So what I wanted to do, I just wanted to pull information from you know, across the different publications to just reinforce the fact that we are a troop. We are several troops under one army. And to just reinforce what the Lord has said about us, that we would know, because, you know, it's really important. It's very important for us to be able to support that which we believe in. You know, that if a question is asked, that you can respond and that you don't have to now be searching for words. You know that this is where the Lord has called you to, and it's for this purpose that you have been called, and these are the promises that he has, you know, having accepted. So I just want to read, this is a portion now from volume 3, Words from the Father's Heart. So I just want to read it through again, just reinforcing the fact that it's the Lord that, you know, is with us, and it's the Lord that will carry us. You know that he is the commander-in-chief of this army. Okay, so I'm going to read from You Are My Recovery Army, because you may not be able to see it too clearly. You are my recovery army. So that's what the Lord is saying about us. I will do a quick work that will be marvelous in your eyes. My salvation is nearer now than when you first believed. It shall not be long. He that cometh will come. I hear the devil boasting and saying, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. But I have brought you to recover all. This is a recovery army. So you hear what the Lord is saying? The Lord is saying we are a recovery army. So we have not come to kill and destroy. We have come to recover. An army that does havoc to the devil. An army that the kingdom of darkness dreads. Brace up, for the battles must be fought. And victory is sure. So, you know, that's a good reassurance there. That's good encouragement, and victory is sure. I want to sharpen your tools. Present your tools before me. I want to sharpen, equip, and strengthen you. I will fortify, sharpen, and equip you for battle. The army that I have raised in this season can jump over high walls. I am recruiting and training the troop. I am about to take you into harder territories. Only those trained and equipped for rough terrains endure, those who can jump over the walls of obstruction. A season shall come when you will engage in prayer and fast. For the scriptures say, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fast. So we see, even as I read, the Lord is giving instructions. He's not only encouraging us, you know, but he's giving us instructions, and he is reassuring us, you know, that he has already gone before us. He has already prepared the way for us. You know, he is making a way for us. Okay. I am inspecting my army. I have commissioned you as my squad, my troops, soldiers of the cross. Now you can move out. Now you can do exploits. Now you can conquer. I have given you all the gadgets, all the equipment you need to fight. I have made you battle ready. Declare, saying, we are an army that cannot be defeated. Let's declare that. Let's declare, we are an army that cannot be defeated. So everybody take off your mute. Take your mics off of mute, and let's just declare, we are an army that cannot be defeated. Right, so I will count to three, and we will say, we will declare it together. One, two, three.
We are an army that cannot be defeated.
In Jesus' name. Amen. It says, an army raised by the Lord in all the nations world. Sound it again, that civilians should decamp. An army is known by their training, endurance, toughness, bravery, loyalty, and yieldedness of the troops. A winning army is known by the determination, obedience, and discipline of its troops. Develop a fighting spirit. A fighting spirit is a mark of a good soldier. No careless living. A soldier has no time to waste. Time is precious to a diligent soldier. He has no time for distractions. Many who come for recruitment are civilians in army uniform. They have a civilian mindset. Drop the civilian attitude. Lord, even now, I ask that you will cause us to drop the civilian mindset and to drop the civilian attitude. You need courage. Courage to fight battles. Lord, so we put on courage. Courage to fight battles even now. No soldier can succeed in his calling without courage. I will equip my saints. A new chapter has been opened. A new phase has begun. And people are being upgraded. There is upgrading. I will lead my troop to greater battles. I am launching you into greater battles. Therefore, I require higher standards. Do not relent, but advance. Do not turn aside or look back. Go forward. Do not be weary. Continue steadfast. I am launching you into greater and deeper things. Do not limit me in your mind. Do not stop halfway in this battle. Do not go on break. Arise as a new threshing instrument and thresh. Hallelujah. Be battle ready. Be battle ready. Be prepared. For there are battles that must be fought physically and spiritually. You will do this by prophetic walks and taking possession. This season is very sensitive. Do not be weary and tired. It is an hour to be alert. Can't you see how the world takes possession and the high price they pay? Is there a price too high for you to pay? The wicked pay a great price to have their way. My people should eschew weariness and brace up for battle. Why are you so easily discouraged? Be brave. Why are you hunger bitten, weary, and weak? Is it not time to give up feebleness? Arise in strength and be brave, for there is no weakling in my army. In Jesus' name, there is no weakling in the army of God, and we are in his army. We are not weaklings. So I have a question. Having read this portion from the Words from the Father's Heart, Volume 3. Does it sound familiar to you? One, does it apply to what is going on today? Does it apply, based on what I have read, does it apply to what we are seeing today? That's my question. So you can unmute and respond. As I said earlier, the word of God is not bread. It's not, well, let me see. Let me say it's not physical bread that becomes stale. Yeah, it's the bread of life. Yes, we understand that. But I'm talking about flour and water. That after a while, it becomes stale. Mm-mm. It's applicable in every season of our lives. Because without a doubt, I can say that this applies to walk to this season that we are in now. Anyone else agrees? Or is it only me? It applies to what the season that we are in right now. It applies to it. It applies to the season.
Amen. Sure. That's true.
Amen. Yes.
So the Lord has already gone before us. You know, he says he wants to sharpen, equip, and strengthen us. He will fortify, sharpen, and equip us for battle. And we know for sure that that's what the Lord is doing in this season with all of this training that we've been going through. You know? So the Lord is encouraging us not to shirk back. You know? He's encouraging all of us. You know? Because I myself, this word is for me. The word of God is a double-edged sword. So everybody's get cut. Everybody getting cut. You know, so the Lord will continue to help us in this season. All we have to do is, you know, fix our eyes on him and continue to move forward. Continue to move forward. You know, and even as he said that there are civilians in army clothes. There's a saying, what is it now? Soldiers aren't caught up in civilian matters. There's a saying that you hear. Soldiers aren't caught up, but that's the long and short of it. He's saying that, like a soldier cannot be caught up in civilian matters. You know? So there's certain things that, you know, that we shouldn't be a part of or battling with. The Lord will continue to help us. He will continue to help us. Amen. Good. So I want to move on now to the assignment for the troop. Before we move ahead, does anyone have any questions?
I just like the fact that we are a recovery army, and that seems very, very serious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you hear recovery army, what comes to mind?
Well, normally when you are in a war, you go out to fight and kill and so on. But mm-hmm. as a recovery person, mm-hmm. you are going to seek what God has out there and bring it back to him. Mm-hmm. So you're not just going out to fight a war, but you're going to make sure that you bring back the spoils, which is the souls of men.
Correct. Because there is I don't know the correct name for them, but there is a section within the army. It's a set of troops. And what they do, they actually go in to recover wounded soldiers and stuff. So they actually come in by air, they come in by sea, they come in by land, and they actually go to bring out the wounded. So the Lord is saying that we are a recovery army. So we're going to recover everything that was lost. We're going to recover. So we're going to recover. We ain't going to destroy. We ain't going to scatter, but we're going to recover that which is lost. And as you said, it's souls. And
Ashley,
it is in the hey.
I am very interested in this recovery army because we don't always focus there. We focus on the fighting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fighting the battle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But this is a special ops branch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So this really is all like part of the battle.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to, I think that we need to remember this when we are doing what we do. Ours is the task of recovering, going for the wounded, bringing them out safely.
Yeah.
And also recovering the spoils.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's wonderful.
Yeah, it is so true, because you get caught up a lot in just the fight, just the battle. Survival, you know, for survival. but not that we are a recovery army, having to recover that which was lost. Because the Lord is redemptive. You know,
exactly.
I have a redemptive love.
Exactly.
Amen.
Yeah. So it's very
that this for me is very liberating, because I really don't believe we must be fighting all the time.
Yeah, that's all a part of the battle. The recovery. Because look at this. Hey, if the recovery army didn't, if it didn't have a recovery section, troop or whatever, where would you be? You come to Jesus by yourself? Nobody didn't pray for you? Where would I be? I have people praying for me. For sure. You know? So we got to even look at us, you know, look back at your story. Look at yourself, you know? So you know for sure that the recovery arm is necessary, because I ain't come to Jesus by myself. Mm-mm, not at all. There was a lot of prayer. A lot of prayer and a lot of hand-holding. You know? So I am grateful.
Sister Ashley, I was listening to you, that same thing you just said there, mm-hmm. We were recovered.
Yeah.
We were recovered by Jesus, by mm-hmm. the hand of Almighty God. Mm-hmm. And each one of us could attest to that, because we have gone through various testings.
Correct.
It may seem different, but it's the same. It's the mm-hmm. same spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same attack.
Mm-hmm.
But we are recovered, and therefore God is using us as wailing women to go out and recover.
And to recover.
Recover everything, as you say. You know, that stand out there for me.
Yes.
Praise God.
Ashley, what come to mind when you were mm-hmm. talking about it was 1 Samuel chapter 20, when the Amalekite took Ziklag.
Mm-hmm.
And when David those came back home from the battle, they met all their wives, all their children, everything gone, and mm-hmm. their city burnt down.
Uh-huh.
And David's men wanted to kill David. And yeah. David prayed to the Lord,
mm-hmm.
What should I do?
What should I do?
And the Lord tell him, you should go and recover all.
Mm-hmm. Pursue, overtake, and recover.
And they... Mm-hmm.
Amen. Pursue, amen. Overtake, recover all. That was the instruction. He said, should I go up? He went to inquire, should I go up? The Lord tell me, yeah, go up. Pursue, overtake, and recover all. It is true. Amen. Amen. The Lord said, we are a formidable army. Amen. Someone wanted to say something, sorry? Someone was saying something? Okay. So we can move ahead. We can move ahead now. Or anyone has anything to say, more to add before we move ahead?
Sister Ashley, I'm thinking,
yes, please.
As well. You know, defeating the enemy, because unless the enemy is not defeated,
mm-hmm.
the battle will continue. So when beating the enemy, in order for us to, you know, take back what was stolen.
You're breaking up, really?
Really,
wait, just one moment. Now you can go ahead. Let me see if that will help.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I was saying, as the other sisters were speaking, said, that is, we need to leave in mind, focusing, you know, as the army, that as we really need to defeat enemy,
mm-hmm.
so we can take back. Because if they are not defeated, fight will continue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's all a part of the battle. It's all a part of the battle. So obvious, yes, for sure, you have to defeat in order to recover. Because they're not going to allow you to just walk in and take up.
Right, in order to
So it's all a part. Yeah, it's all a part of the battle.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so both, so it's both. It's fighting, yes, you have to fight, but then you still have to recover as well. Mm-hmm. Correct. Good. Okay, good. So we will move on now to assignments for the troop. So if you're enlisted in Wailing Women Army, here are a few assignments from the Lord. Okay, so it says pray and ask the Lord to spare. Oh, yes, sorry. I wanted to give out these scriptures. Well, I can't see anyone. So as I call the scripture, just say your name. All right, so let me give out all of these scriptures first. Let me see. Need, so just checking to see how many people they need. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, I just need 8 persons. So when I call the scripture, just say your name. So Joel 2:17-18.
Kenya.
Who's gonna take it? Sorry?
Kenya.
Joel 2:17-18 is Kenya. Joel 2:1-2. Yeah.
Simonia.
Yes.
Kenya, you're Joel 2:17-18. Simonia is Joel 2:1-2. Mm-hmm. All right, Isaiah 62:6-12. Isaiah 62:6-12. Who's gonna take it to just read?
Friendly.
Sorry?
Isaiah 62:6-12.
Brenda Lee.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Is Brandon Lee on?
Brenda Lee.
Brenda Humber. Is Brandon from Trinidad on?
Oh, I don't know.
Joy, Jocelyn?
Yes, he's on.
He's on? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So Brandon, you could take Joel 3:9-12. Brandon, you're there? You can hear me? When I called Brenda's name, I remember Brandon. Brandon, you're there?
I'm not seeing him anymore.
See. You're not
seeing
him?
I'm not seeing him anymore.
Okay.
Actually, I'm not seeing him.
Okay. So I need someone to take the Joel 3:9-12.
Georgia.
Georgia? Okay.
Yeah.
Hosea 6:1-3.
Okay, Cheryl.
Cheryl, mm-hmm. I need, okay, someone from Matthew 9:37-38.
Evangelist Claudette.
Teresa.
Someone else, wait, Teresa, I will give you, the other persons, there was someone else that called the name as well.
Evangelist Claudette Garden.
So you will be Matthew 9:37-38. Teresa, your Lamentation 2:19. You got it, Teresa?
Yeah.
Lamentation 2, verse 19. And then I need one more person for Proverbs 6:30-31.
I can do that, Pamela. Yes.
Pamela?
Yes.
Proverbs 6:30-31. 30 to 31. All right, good. So let's just start. Good.
We're doing
so
this
the first
right
one.
Now, or this is homework?
No. We're doing this now. I just want peer persons to read so that we won't be delaying, you know, taking up time searching. So I just want to give everyone a scripture before I started, because this is the last section, right? This is the last section, and then we would talk about homework. Good. So the first, sorry?
This is Kenya.
This is okay.
Kenya.
Yeah. So I'm going to call on you when it's time. So as I said, it's assignments for the troop. If you are enlisted in Men and Women Army, here are a few assignments from the Lord. So the first one says, pray and ask the Lord to spare your nation from the persecutions of all the sins your fellow citizens have committed, and temper justice with mercy. So it is Kenya is the first person.
Yeah.
Okay, so read for us Joel 2:17-18.
Okay. Let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nation should rule over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God?
Okay, good. So, based on the scripture you just read, Kenya, how does it apply to praying and asking the Lord to spare your nation from the repercussions of all the sins that your fellow citizens have committed, and to temper justice with mercy? Because this is an assignment, you know? This is one of the assignments that the Lord have given to us, men and women. Tell me what you understand from that point. You can see the points on my screen?
Yes.
Good. So tell me what you understand from it. I will give what you understand as well, too. You want me to start?
Sorry. All right. And from the scriptures, mm-hmm. and telling us that the priests and the ministers, the priesthood ministers to the Lord, that they're saying that we need to cry out on the mm-hmm. altar. Mm-hmm. So that the Lord can spare our people. So he's asking the priest and to cry out so that we can be spared. Mm-hmm. And he don't want us to give the land. They don't want to give the land to reproach. So he's asking us to cry out. And that the nations should rule over them. Mm-hmm. So they don't want to have to say... The people are saying, where's your God? They don't want it to get to that. So where the people have to say, where's your God? So mm-hmm. before we even get to that, they're asking mm-hmm. us to, they're asking the priests and the ministers to cry out for the people. So the people won't have to wonder if God is in the land.
Yeah. So the land will be destroyed.
So the land will be destroyed. Right.
Right. So it's saying pray and ask the Lord to, so this is what the Lord wants us to do. So this is one of our assignments. Pray and ask the Lord to spare your nation from the repercussions of all the sin your fellow citizens have committed, and temper justice with mercy. So a good example would be bloodshed in the land. So we know that bloodshed equates to curses. Because we know what happened with Cain and Abel. When the innocent blood was shed, it said that the blood began to cry out from the earth. Right? And blood crying out from the earth basically means that it cursing. But we know it's the blood of Jesus that speaks better things. Right? So mm-hmm. although you don't even know who the person is. You know nothing about the murder apart from coming home the evening and seeing it on the news. But it will still affect you because you dwell in our nation. And we read earlier about I'm trying to remember who it was that had asked about Jeremiah 9 verse 19, you know?
Kenya.
What it was saying. Kenya, when it was, I was wondering if it was Kenya or if I was just thinking it was you because you just read this scripture. But it's like the same thing what 19 was saying. The people begin to cry out because the people say, look, the land reject us. The land rejecting us now. You know, look how it's forsaken us. So the land will begin to rebel. Because again, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. Understanding, you know, that everything is not, we must not take things at face value. Mm-hmm. You know, we must not take things at face value. Oh my. We mustn't take things at face value. Okay. So does anyone have any questions as it relates to the assignment one? And it's saying, apart from, you know, so it's saying to ask the Lord to spare the nation from the repercussions of sin. Right? And ask the Lord to then temper the justice with mercy. So instead of destroying the people, have mercy on us. That's what he's saying. You know, instead of destroying the people, have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, have mercy. And that's what we are supposed to do. Right? That's what the priests used to do. You know, go and cry on behalf of the people. And that's what the Lord is saying to us, that is one of our assignments. And it's not an assignment for a specific time. It is an assignment in that you took the job, it's a part of your job description. All right. Does everyone understand? Could we move on? Or does anyone have anything to add? This one is pretty straightforward. Okay, good. So point two says, blow the trumpet in Zion. Joel 2:1-2, Samania.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You can Joel read.
Joel 2:1-2.
Yeah.
Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, mm-hmm. and sound an alarm, my holy mountain. Let all inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is a day of darkness and of gloom, a day of clouds of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There has not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it.
You're breaking up really bad.
Really?
So we didn't get the end part.
Let me try and, are you hearing me clear now?
Yeah, we can hear you clear now.
Are you hearing me clear?
Yeah, I can hear you clearly now.
Okay. So should I do both verses then?
Yeah. 2:1-2.
Yes. Blow ye the trumpet, Zion. And sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the habitants of the Lord lay of come cometh, for it is
It's breaking up again.
A day of clouds and of thick darkness. Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's breaking up really bad.
A day of darkness and of gloom. A day of clouds and thick darkness.
Reading two verses instead of one, I think.
Yeah, let me, Simonia?
Yes, Ashley.
We get like the first part. I would read the second verse. I would read it for you.
Okay.
Let me know if everybody, yeah, it's breaking up really bad. Let me know if you can hear me though, or if the same thing is happening. So it says, well, let me read from one. It says, blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Okay, good. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of cloud and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come, great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will there ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations. I mean, what the scripture talks about the army of the Lord, and it was likening it as to locusts. You know, coming through the land is like garden before it, and behind it is like a charred, you know, charred woods. And so it says here, blow the trumpet in Zion. That's what we are supposed to do. And it says that there are two trumpets that wailing women blow. It says there's a trumpet to warn the inhabitants of the land about the impending judgment upon all the inhabitants of the earth. And that is what Joel 1:2 spoke of. Right? And then they have another scripture here. But it says now, the second trumpet. Okay, let me just continue with the first trumpet. It says this trumpet is to awaken people from slumber and to tell them that judgment will fall on nations if they refuse to acknowledge and please God. It is a plea to get their attention to focus on God and his immutable words. And the example they have here is Jonah and Nineveh. And we know the situation with Jonah. And we know the situation, you know, his situation with Nineveh, how the people were doing again as they like. The Lord sent him to Nineveh. He did not want to go because he knew that as long as he went, that the people would turn and change their ways and that the Lord would forgive them. And that's the reason why he didn't want to go. You know, so this is an example here. We are to blow two trumpets. One is to warn the people so that they would turn away from sin. And then the second trumpet is to announce the nationwide commencement of all the repentance and redemption project. A trumpet to announce the nationwide commencement of the repentance and redemption project. So sorry. Good. This involves networking and massive mobilization. Actually, before I go on, let me just read the scripture here. It says Joel 2:12-18. So Joel 2:12-18 says, and this is in relation to the second trumpet that we are blowing. 12-18, it reads, now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. Let the priest who minister to the Lord weep before the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O God, and do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nation should rule over them. Why should they say among the people, where is their God? So it's saying the second trumpet that we are supposed to blow would be to announce a commencement of the repentance and redemption project. So for instance, an example of that for me would have been when Youth with a Mission came to Barbados. I know Youth with a Mission would have been to Antigua and they would have been to St. Vincent as well. And Youth with a Mission, Impact World, the Impact World campaign. So Impact World campaign, what they do, they go into nations and truly different arts and culture, they draw youth, they draw out the youth. And in the and once they draw them out through like the different arts and craft, well, arts and because it's like they have like strong men, they have dancers, they just draw the children out. And as they draw them out, they then minister the word to them. And many are saved, children and adults alike. You know, and I remember when they did it here and what they did, they came and it was non-denominational. So all of the denominations across the nation, they would have engaged, you know, engaged all of the churches, called all of the churches together, you know, to just take part in this initiative. And it was a success in Barbados, in St. Vincent, and in Antigua as well. So it says here, this involves networking and massive mobilization, fervent prayers and planning and consultation with various interest groups representing a cross-section of the nation. Because apart from just going to the church, they went to the private sector. Obviously, they had to go to the public sector, which would have been the government, because they would have been using like different fields across the nation. So they had to go to the government. Then they had to go to the private sector, obviously, because the private sector would have been sewing in terms of like a PA system or whatever else. Then the church would have been raising the funds for other stuff that they needed money for. So, you know, it was like all hands on deck. So it's saying that's the second type of trumpet that we're supposed to call. It says the gatekeepers need wisdom and grace in getting believers to come together for this birthing process. The spirit of patience and determination is required to destroy lethargy, discouragement, and cynicism by the brigade of old prophets. So we know it's like it's Nehemiah that said, I am doing a good work, I will not come down. We know he's going, you know, that's be a battle when you're doing things for the Lord. You know, it is a battle. And the fierceness of the wiles of the enemy against you and all involved in the project. And you know that in times like that, the enemy does just use whoever, some of your very same brothers and sisters that he would use, you know, to distract you. So again, as I said, we are called, apart from the fact that we are called to cry out to the Lord in repentance, we are also called to blow two types of trumpets. One, to sound the alarm and allow the people to know, listen, align, unless judgment will come to the nation. The second one is to gather the people to pray and also to repent. Okay? Can I move on? Is everyone okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah?
Yes, people.
Okay. So let me continue. What's going on? Okay. Good. So the third one, we are to serve as watchmen and prophetic gatekeepers in our nation. And I know Olivia would have spoken on watchmen last week. Correct? I think that's what the topic was. Yeah. Correct. So it says watchmen. Okay, so Isaiah 6, that would be Brenda Lee. Isaiah 62, 6 to 12.
I have set watchmen upon the walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. Mm-hmm. He that make mention of the Lord, keep not silent, mm-hmm. and give him no rest, till he establish and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn mm-hmm. by his right hand and by the arms of his strength. Surely I will no more give thine corn to be meat for thine enemies. Mm-hmm. And the sons of the stranger should not drink thy wine, mm-hmm. for the which thou hast labored. But they that has gathered it should eat it and praise the Lord. And they that has brought it together should drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gates. Prepare either way for the people. Cast up the highways. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord has proclaimed unto the ends of the world. Say ye to the daughters of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his works before him. And they should call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou should be called Sodom, a city Amen. Not forsaken.
Amen. 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 So it says here, serve, we are to also serve as watchmen and prophetic gatekeepers in our nation. It says here, watchmen are guards. So I know you guys would have done watchmen last week. So this would just be a quick snapshot. Watchmen are guards. It says prophetic gatekeepers are people who watch over the spiritual and physical gates of these cities and nations. They serve as God's eyes and ears. All right. It says gates of your nations include the throne, which would be like your government, military installations, we know like the police and the others, the legislature and the judiciary, we know this is court and the laws, ports, we know we got air, land and sea, financial institutions, we know the banks, the central banks, economic centers in the land, the same thing, banks, central banks, anything to do with finance, right? So it said watchmen and then prophetic gatekeepers. Watching and then the gatekeepers, and we know it was explained here, spiritual and physical gatekeepers. So like here in Barbados we have one of our members, well, more than one actually, that's work at the airport. So anything's happening at the airport, we know what's going on, and so we are able to pray. Right? So it's prophetic. So we don't have to go up to the airport and march from the airport. We gather and agree. Or you do it over the phone. Right? Because again, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. Right? There are certain people that like to, they're real in tune with government. It's like the seven spheres. Right? It's like the seven spheres. People that they like economic, dealing with economic issues, hearing about the government, etc. These are people that watching XYZ, she knows as it relates to government, top down. Like for instance, we have one of our members who works within a particular ministry, and everything that happens in that ministry, she allows us to know because of the position she holds. And we pray. So you have to stay abreast of what's going on in the nation. You got to pay attention to the news. Pay attention to what's going on the ground. That's what you should say. You must pay attention to what is going on within our nation, what's going on the ground. Keep your ear to the ground so that you can pray. Not saying that the Lord won't allow you to see and know what's going on apart from keeping your ear to the ground, but it's a part of the process. It's a part of it. It says scriptures for gatekeepers and their monitoring role. So gatekeepers and monitors. It says Isaiah 58:1, show the people their transgression. So that's one of the things you're supposed to do. Show the people their transgression. Through the very same as we mentioned, sounding the trumpet through prayer. Through prayer and through evangelism, through going out in so many different ways that you can show the people their transgression. Through teaching teaching in the word, you know, all of these ways, because you don't necessarily have to come and say, okay, you're wrong X, Y, Z. You have some people that you could do, you minister them, minister the word to them, and they would come to that realization. You know, it says in Isaiah 62:10, go through the gates. It's one of the things you have to do as a prophetic gatekeeper. You know, we talk about, let's enter, today is X, Y, Z. Let's just enter, enter into the gate of the new month or an understanding, having an understanding of the different watches or like the new moon and stuff. It's not that we are being mythical, if that's the correct word, you know, but it's just that you have an understanding. You just have an understanding of the word and you carry it right back to the Lord. You know, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. There's the scripture that speaks about the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's Psalm 19. Let me see if I could just pull it up quickly, where it speaks about her voice being heard. It talks about creation and then basically saying that there's no place where her voice is not heard. I can't remember if it's Psalm 19. Let me see if I could just find it quickly. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day after day, day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. You know, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard, you know? Just receiving understanding from the Lord as it relates to what does this mean. You know, things being planted into the night, the night watches, and beginning to speak during the day. They call it these different things. And obviously, we would go a bit, we would get into these things a bit further as we continue to go through it's actually the training manuals that will have more details as it relates to like the different watches, etc. It says here, Isaiah 62:11, declare salvation and deliverance to your city and nation. Isaiah 61:1-4. So we understand declaring salvation and deliverance to our city and nation. The process of praying, you know, gathering those with a like mind and praying and declaring salvation over the nation. We know there is life and death in the power of the tongue. Right? And so you can declare a thing. And it is so. So you continue to declare life over your nation. You declare salvation and deliverance to the people and the nation. You continue to declare it. Because if it is one thing, apart from the fact that words carry weight, your words carry weight. Because you're speaking based on what the Lord, you know, like the Lord is using you. As we said, that we are his hands and his feet in the earth. Right? So your words carry even more weight. Isaiah 61:1-4, proclaim liberty to the captives. So we mentioned in, I think when I had done chapter 5, we had said that captives aren't just men in prison. But we know that you have people that are very walking around very free and yet are captive. So it's proclaiming liberty to them. Proclaiming liberty. Soundness of mind. I declare soundness of mind over you. You know, that's like just like an example, like a one-on-one. You know, if you have a friend or, you know, a situation, you proclaim, like I have a friend who just lost a family member, very, very tragic. You know, she works with me and she reached out to me. And in her reaching out, I was doing my devotions one morning and I just felt as though I should call her and pray. And I called her, and in calling her to pray, she told me that her faith was shaken. You know, and I just begin to declare life. I begin to declare life because the enemy will not use it, you know, to imprison her. You know, I began to speak the love of God and to declare life over her. You know, that she will not be captive to that situation, but that the Lord would receive the glory coming out of that situation. You know, Isaiah 62 called the nation into its destiny. We know that. So that means now you're going to pray and ask the Lord to reveal the redemptive gift of the nation and the destiny of the people. You know, like for Barbados, we know the redemptive gift for Barbados is worship. Right? And so we got to pray that thing, like as everybody know, Rihanna come out to Barbados. So if you ensure we know what our redemptive gift is, it is worship. So it's just calling the nation, you know, into its destiny, that the worship would be that which is pleasing unto the Lord, and not that which caters to the flesh. Right? That's what we would do. That, like, even in this season, this is the first time in eons where crop over was called off. We don't, and yet, right, the Lord is saying that this is the season of worship. So we're going to really, you know, use this season to, you know, ensure that it's worship that goes forth in this season. And even as we are prophetic, we're talking about being watchers and prophetic gatekeepers. You know, one morning we were praying, and what came to me, I said, you know, what I'm realizing is, like, this is the season where we usually have crop over. And usually around this season, you have, like, a lot of, like, bloodshed in the land. No, you don't have crop over. The festival was called off. Yet, we're still getting bloodshed. Although we're on lockdown and all of that, you're still getting the same bloodshed. And you know what came to me? And it could only be the Lord that showed it to me. You know, if, like, when a woman is pregnant and miscarries, you know, the body still responds for some time as though the child is there. It's still, you know, it's the hormones still respond the same way. It's oxytocin hormone, you know, that produces milk, everything that still be preparing for that child. And it's like the land, and it's like what the land doing. You know, although the child in there, it's like the land still preparing its body to receive it. And so the things still happening. You know, and we had to cut that off. We had to cut it off. Because it's like, if the land know that between the end of June and the beginning of August, this was usually happen. So let me prepare myself. Let me prepare myself to receive them. Let me prepare myself. And we had to cut it off. You know? And you can only see that, like, in a place. You got to be in prayer. Anything about it is that we were just praying. You know? And that's what the Lord showed. So, you know, watchers and prophetic gatekeepers. And the Lord said that we are prophetic legislators. So when the enemy, when the government come and say one thing, and we know that that's not the, that lining up with the word of God, cut it off. I remember when, just one second. Excuse me a second. I am sitting outside so that I could get some quiet, but now the bugs attacking me. But I am moving till I finish. Good. So what was I saying? Oh my, it slipped me. Anywho, if I remember,
government was saying.
Oh yes, I remember. Thank you very much. I remember because, like, the Lord said that we are prophetic legislators, and I remember when there was the issue with the American embassy moving from, I think it was Tel Aviv, and moving to Israel, Jerusalem. It was moving. And, like, the nations in the Caribbean got together with, I can't remember who it was, but basically they were siding with the ones that were against Jerusalem. You know, making the shift. And then we had to pray. I say, Lord, the word of God says, well, the Lord will bless those that bless Israel and curse those that curse them. So we in the Caribbean can align with the ones that cursing, you know, because they did not want the embassy, the U.S. embassy, to move. They wanted it to stay in Tel Aviv. I think that's what it was. I will have to look back for the correct name. But yeah, it was something like that. And, like, that was a no-no. So then we had to go before the Lord and repent, you know, repent about it. So it's just being, you know, mindful of what's going on, you know, so that you're informed. And the Lord will also inform you too, you know. So you play your part and the Lord will help you. We will move on now to 4. Ugh. Good. Wake up those who slumber and sensitize the church in your nation to prepare for war. So Joel 3, 9 to 12. That is Georgia.
Joel 3:9-12.
Yes, please.
Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into the swords. Mm-hmm. And your pruning hooks into the spears. Mm-hmm. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble and come, all you nations. And gather together all around. Cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord. Let the nations be weakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Wake up those who slumber and Saint Citizen Church in your nation to prepare for war. So that's basically like what we are doing too, even through the GTA training. It says, wake up those who slumber and sensitize the church in your nation to prepare for war. Now imagine the prophetic word, a portion in the prophetic word is talking about the persecution of the church and that it can't be waved off. All right. I think that's, yeah. And yet, this is the mandate that was prepared how long ago? Not this year. But yet we're still seeing the same thing here about wake up those who slumber and sensitize the church in your nation. So it says establish training programs and discipleship processes to prepare the people for national transformation. It says train Christians to cover the seven mountains of influence in the nation. Teach Christians specific skills. Farming to feed your family without reliance on the government and corporate jobs. Money will fail. Imagine this. Imagine this is what's being said. And this is what, like right now, I can speak for Barbados. Because they're saying, like, that's what we have to go about now to farming. Because obviously in COVID, money ain't saying anything. Because the supermarkets ain't open. So you can't go and buy anything. You understand where I'm coming from? Yeah. And we can't rely on the government. I hands down. It is not the wisdom of man that has kept the islands of the Caribbean. It is the mercies of God that keep us. And the wisdom of God, you know, that he see fit to put on our leaders to do certain things. There ain't nothing that we did with our hands that didn't cause that stay the COVID from ravishing the islands of the Caribbean. It's just the mercies of God. Nothing more, nothing less. Jesus. Amen. Only Jesus. Good. It says disciple believers to defend the faith. And you know, that's even as I said earlier, like the purpose of these training programs is so that you could defend the faith and defend, you know, what you believe in. So that you will be able, you know, many questions, you will be able to say, this is what the Lord has said. You know, this is what he has said. And so I can move forward believing it. Trusting that this is what he has said. So he's saying again, wake up those who slumber and sensitize the church in your nation to prepare for war. And in order for you to do that, you yourself, you gotta be trained. You gotta be trained. You have to be sensitized first before you can go. You know, and that's what we're doing in this season. That's what we are doing. 5. Reconcile the land and the people to God. Hosea 6:1-3. Cheryl. So remember again,
to the Lord.
Sorry, Cheryl. No, I just wanted to reinforce the fact again of what we were doing. These are the assignments that we really women are called to do, right? As we go through, just remember, these are all the assignments that we are called to do. Not in a particular season or at a particular time, but all times. Good. You can go ahead, Cheryl. Thanks.
Okay, thank you so much.
No problem.
Come and let us return to the Lord. For he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up.
Amen.
After 2 days, he will revive us. Mm-hmm. On the third day, he will raise us up, mm-hmm. that we may live in his sight. Amen. Let us know. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like rain, like the rain, mm-hmm. like the latter and the former rain to the earth. 1-3.
1 to 3. So it says here, as gatekeepers, you have an obligation to call the people in your nation to return to God and to be reconciled to him for healing and restoration. So it says it's an obligation that we have to call the people in our nation to return to God and to be reconciled to him for healing and restoration. You know, and there are many different ways that we can do it, and at many different levels, you know. Influence your sphere, your environment, so you could be getting warm. Right? Then there's also evangelism, going out. You could do it in the marketplace, right? So calling the people in your nation to return to God does not mean that the only way it can be done is by just going out in the streets and going visiting houses. Yes, that is a part of it. But you can also do it from at work. You can do it at work. You can do it in your home. Do it amongst your friends, with everybody that we encounter. You know, and this is each one call one. True, even the each one call one is another opportunity where we can reconcile the land and the people to God. You know, just making yourself available so that the people will see God in you. You know, the Lord will continue to help us. Point six, pray for more laborers that God can use to preach the message of repentance and harvest of souls in your nation. Matthew 9:37-38. Evangelist Claudette.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Matthew 9:37-38.
Yes, please.
Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers unto the harvest.
Amen.
Into the harvest, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Good. Pray for more laborers. So we know the scripture well. Pray for more laborers that God can use to preach the message of repentance and harvest of souls in your nation. Apart from praying, intercessors should take practical steps to evangelize neighborhoods, cities, and gather a harvest for the Lord, especially the unreached, brothels, prisons, etc. So a ministry, going out and ministering to the unreached. Yeah. Evangelizing, as we said. There was a season where the Lord had set us here in Barbados to go to, well, that's actually, no, that's, that isn't even, no, because we weren't going to people. It was more like a prayer walk that we did. But what this point is saying that we need to do more than, you know, is not only faith, it's also works that are required here. I know scripture that says faith without works dead. It's saying here that faith and works required. Pray for more laborers that God can use to preach the message of repentance and harvest of souls in your nation. Apart from praying, intercessors should take practical steps to evangelize neighborhoods, cities, and gather a harvest for the Lord, especially the unreached. 7, raise a lamentation to God for the recovery of the children all over the world, all over the nation. Lamentation 219, let me see, Teresa.
Yeah. Arise, cry out in the night, in the beginning of the watch. Pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up your hands towards him for the life of your young children that fed for hunger in the top of the streets, on every street, sorry.
Okay. So it says to raise a lamentation to God for the recovery of the children all over the world. So it is a part of our role to pray for the children in the earth. It says children in many nations are lost to drugs, starvation, child prostitution, cultism, disease, slavery. They need to be recovered. Pray and rescue these children. Pray and rescue these children. You know what came to mind? Like teachers. You know, operating within the schools. they have an advantage. And there are many of us, there are a lot of teachers in our midst, you know, and they can give you stories. I remember years back, we had a teacher in our midst, and like 1 week she came to us and was telling us about this child. And by the next week or something like that, the child, well, it wasn't a general conversation. I think it was mentioned. And then there harm came to the child, and then it was in the news. But she was explaining that this is something that they were, you know, dealing with before it even came out in the news. So we must use the, you know, the opportunities, the platforms that we have, you know, to minister. And as we see here, we have to pray for our children. You see, for instance, it may be strange for us in the Caribbean to have to think about child prostitution and cultism. There was a point in time where I was like, starvation, children in Barbados, that's impossible. Until you then started to get stories on the news, or until we came into this season where, although the children are at home, the government still has to provide meals for them through school meals to the homes. Secondary schools, the teachers still have to be pooling funds together to buy groceries for children. And I was like, Barbados? I don't think so. You ain't got a children that's starving in Barbados. You know? So we have to pray. It says fight for the powers of initiation. And there is a particular, let me see, because it speaks about initiating our children. Volume 7. This is again words from the Father's heart. I don't know. Can you see me? Can you still see me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Yes.
So this is another words from the Father's heart. So fight the powers of initiation. Page 70 says, fight the powers of initiation. This is for our children. Fight whatever has been put in place to initiate people in covenant with. Oh no, this is for adults. There is one that speaks to children. Let me see. Good, I have it here. Good. So it says, fight the powers of initiation. This one doesn't speak specific to children, nonetheless. Fight the powers of initiation. Oh, yes, this is it. Fight the powers of initiation of children in your nation. Fight whatever has been put in place to initiate people into covenant with Satan. Fight it with the blood of Jesus. Counter every form and system of initiation. It will not work for those who have the mark of Jesus. You are the Almighty, the creator of the ends of the earth. For those who have your mark cannot receive any other mark. Destroy the system of initiation. Crumble the activities of Satan. And then it gives us the right study Revelation 13:18. So it basically saying to deal with the powers of initiation, the spirits that want to come and initiate our children into gangs and into drug use and all of that, to deal with them by fire. This is what this is saying to us. You know, having that understanding, cry out for your children. Cry out for the children in the land. That's what it's saying to us. Fight for the powers of initiation. And then we initiate our children into the things of God. It says train up a child from its youth, that when it grows old, it won't depart from it. That's what we're supposed to initiate our children into. You know? And the last point here says, let me see, we have 8 minutes. Demand from Satan a sevenfold restoration of all that has been stolen from your nation and its people. Proverbs 6:30-31. Pamela?
Men,
Pamela, are you there? Okay.
Yes, I'm here. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he's hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house.
In many nations, Satan has stolen the people's joy and peace. He has abruptly terminated the lives of millions through our So it says, even as a thief has been caught, you must demand a sevenfold restoration. So that's what we need to do. Demand from Satan a sevenfold restoration, you know, even as he has been caught. Because it says that's what you're going to do with the thief. When the thief is caught, demand sevenfold. So that's one of our assignments, to demand sevenfold restoration for all that the enemy has stolen from our nation and from the people. Because we know that there are many that have died premature deaths, you know, in our nation. So these are just 8 of the assignments that the Lord have given to the troops within Wailing Women. Does anyone have any questions or any comments before we move on to the assignment for next week?
The Thursday.
Sorry? Someone say something?
No,
I can't hear you. You're breaking up. Sorry?
Assignment for Thursday.
What did I say?
Next week.
I always say next week. Sorry.
I always say next week.
Thursday. Mm-hmm. It's Thursday. All right. So we can move on to the assignment. All right. Good. So this is the assignment. Where's my computer today? Good. So this is the assignment for Thursday. So I'm going to choose one person from each nation. So it says here, in many nations, Satan has stolen the people's joy and peace, which is just the very last point we dealt with. He has abruptly terminated the lives of millions through our. So I want to find out the things the evil one has stolen from your own people. And it says here, recover them now, speak to creation to align with the gatekeepers to recover all. Okay, good. So this is what we're going to do. I want to choose one person from each nation as represented here. So do we still have Anguilla, Trinidad, St. Lucia, Bahamas, and Dominica? Is there a nation here that I didn't call, that I left out?
Barbados.
Barbados is here now? Because I can't see the...
Venezuela. Barbados was here for a while.
Okay, very good. So apart from you, Fran, who else is here?
Venezuela.
Venezuela. So right. So Fran, apart from you in Barbados, anybody else is here?
You know, maybe if they hear your voice or identify themselves.
Okay, so they probably aren't then. Okay, great. So I'm going to choose one person from each nation. And you nominate yourself. I will just make a note. And on Thursday, this is what I want you to do for me. Identify 3 things. And you have 5 minutes to do it in, because we want to use some of the time to pray. So if it is that we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 5 is 35. Say we use 35 minutes, say 40 minutes, like 1 hour to go through the discussion. We want to use the other hour, which we wouldn't necessarily need that full hour. But we will see how it goes. So I want one person from each nation. Identify yourself. I would call the nation and I just need a name. And I want you to just identify 3 things in your nation. It says here, find out the things the evil one has stolen from your own people. If you want, you could just take a picture of this slide with your phone so you remember. So it says, find out the things that the evil one has stolen from your people. I want 3 of the things in your nation that the enemy has stolen from your nation, your people. Right? And then I want you to bring scripture for the recovery of these things. And we will agree with you in prayer as it relates to recovering them. Okay? So you understand the task. So it's really 2 things that you're doing. So you're bringing 3, you're going to bring 3 things that the enemy have stolen from your people. All right? And then I want you to bring, if not one scripture, you could bring like 3 separate scriptures or just one scripture to cover that will relate to the recovery of the things that have been stolen. Is that understood? And you have 5 minutes to bring it in. Okay? Is that understood, everyone?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, good. So I need someone for Anguilla. Just give me a name. Anguilla? Sorry, I can't hear you. The person is responding and is breaking up. Anguilla?
Actually, I'm not sure if anyone else here from Anguilla would be able, but
Teresa, what I'm saying, I don't know.
Teresa is Anguilla?
I don't know, she was trying to answer.
No.
Teresa is St. Lucia. No, you see, I can't. Okay, let me take down the slide so I can see. How can I do this? Still, let me see you guys. I gotta stop sharing. Okay, good. Okay, good. So, right. So I wanted someone from Anguilla.
Ashley, good evening again. I was saying that I don't know if anyone else from Anguilla would be able to attend on Thursday, but on Thursdays we are kind of unavailable.
Yes, I remember from the last time, right? So Anguilla is unavailable. So what I want you to do for me then, Georgia,
I don't know if anyone else. Okay, go ahead.
What you can do, send me, you have my WhatsApp, send them to me.
Okay.
Send the three things along with the scripture.
Okay.
I don't really sure have someone here. But anyhow, send it to me. All right.
Okay, no problem.
So you can watch that then. Okay, I need someone for Trinidad. This everything.
Okay, I'll go.
Can I nominate?
This is who?
Cheryl.
Nice. Trinidad is Cheryl?
Yes, please.
Okay. St. Lucia?
Simonia, Ashley.
Simonia?
Yes, Ashley.
Bahamas? Anyone from Bahamas?
I will take it.
Kenya?
Yeah.
Dominica?
Jason, I see your name on the screen.
Pamela?
Okay, Pamela.
Yes. Pamela, you're going to do it?
Yes, yeah.
Venezuela?
Ramona.
Ramona?
Yeah.
Barbados?
Fran.
And it's only you, Fran?
It seems so.
Okay, so again, as I said, you only have 5 minutes to bring these three things and to bring a scripture. Actually, bring one scripture, not three separate scriptures. So let me just make a note.
Oh, Lord.
So you identify three things. Three things that the enemy has stolen from your nation. And then you're going to bring one scripture. To recover. All right. So everyone understands? Everyone got it?
Okay. Actually, one question. This one scripture, in alignment with
what has been stolen.
What has been stolen, okay.
To recover.
Thank you.
Right, because the purpose is recovering. So it's like, this is what the enemy do this, but this is what the word of God says. Because, you know,
yes.
When we
yes.
pray, you must back it with the word.
Yes.
Right. You must us back it with the word. So we will hold one scripture. We don't need the three scriptures. We will hold one straight scripture so that that will be the focus. You know, this is what the scripture say, and we're moving from here. So that's it for this evening, ladies.
If it's not recover, it has to be recover.
Sorry?
It must be recover, whatever the enemy has stolen.
It's to recover what the enemy has stolen. You have a, you wanted to know, you had.
No, I was wondering. I mean, I had to look for something that it has been recovered.
Okay, let me see if I could just think of a quick, let me think of something quickly. Like again, fatherlessness. I mean, what that's the issue in a lot of the Caribbean islands. The enemy steal all of the fathers out of the house for one reason or another. Right? But this is Joshua declaration. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know? As for me and my house. And that's what we're declaring over the men. That will be the position that they would take. That's just a simple one. Fatherlessness or the rebellious children, the children rebelling. The word of God says that he would return the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. And that's what we're declaring, you know, as a form of recovery. This is what will happen from this point going forward. All right. So those are just like two examples. Okay. But we really just want like one scripture if possible. If you can, if you don't believe that you could do it with the one and you want to get another scripture as well, that's okay. Right? But we have 5 minutes so that we can go through with everyone and so we will not like go over our allotted time. Okay, ladies? So that's it for the evening. Ramona, could you pray and close for us, please?
Sure. Father, thank you. Thank you, Father, for this time where we gather to learn all that we need to know, Father, to be able to do your work of the wailing woman, mm-hmm. Caribbean, Father God. We are eager to learn, mighty God, and we have that spirit, Father God, that you have deposited in us. And we all, glorious God, seeking you and asking you to continue to reveal the knowledge, to be able to help us to understand the scriptures and to align with you and know exactly what is in your heart, mighty God, in the nations, or what you want us to accomplish, glorious God. Thank you for Ashley, mighty God, for this time that she took to teach us, my God. I thank you, Lord, for her, and I thank you, glorious God, for what you are doing in her life and what you are doing, mighty God, the willing woman through her. Bless her, mighty God. Take her where she's going and bring her back safe. We ask you for her protection, mighty God, and we ask for all those who are here, mighty God, in this session today, my God. We pray for them. We pray, Father God, that you continue to pour into each and one of them, mighty God, that they will know more and they will be able to do exactly that, what you require of each and one of them. Thank you, Father. We bless you. We exhort you. We magnify you. In the name of Jesus, we pray, believing in our hearts that you will do it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ramona. Amen. Thank you, ladies. Before we go, just let's dust off.
Before you go, I find that on Thursday, I use back the same link.
That's not the link. You have two separate links.
Send it to me again.
I will send it. No problem. I will send it after. No problem. Because okay. It's two links. One for Tuesday, one for Thursday. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Good. So, Father, we dust ourselves off every dust and smoke of war. We take the tail of the backlash and smash its head to utter destruction. We declare no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up in judgment is condemned. We apply the blood of Jesus to ourselves and everything that concerns us. And we declare the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his grace, and he shall reign forevermore. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
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 Thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you so
have a
much,
wonderful
Ashley.
Day tomorrow.
You,
you're welcome.
Bye.
Welcome.
Thank you, Ashley.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye. See you, God willing, on Thursday. Have a good night.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.